as I take my giant swig of Harvest Ridge coffee to propel me through The Mary Griffith Show. I invite you to continue listening to The Mary Griffith Show each and every weekday morning, 9:15 to 10, right here on WTAD. My guest today is Richard Elsenpeter. He is together with Tri-State Veterans Supervisor, man extraordinaire when it comes to anything to do with veterans and veterans causes. And we're going to talk a lot today about great activities that are going on all across the tri-states. First and foremost, let's introduce you to Richard Elsenpeter, because we often, I think everybody knows Richard, which I think everybody does. But for those who are not familiar with you, Richard, tell us a little bit about anything you want to share in your personal life, and then tell us about your passion for veterans, please.
Well, so thank you, Mary. Says it's always been a pleasure to come on with you. Says I am a two-service, 25-year retired veteran. Started off in the Air Force in 1976 through 1980. Transitioned over to the National Guard right here in Quincy, the 126 S&S Company, between 1980 and 1985. Then they asked me to go back in the active service, so I joined up with the AGR system, transferred over to Springfield, Illinois, and became active duty Army over there until I retired in 2001 with 25 years total time.
So what have you done between now and 2001?
Nothing, not a thing. Well, it says, once I got out, I came back to Quincy, started working here, started three businesses. All entertainment businesses, the Laughter Has No Color Comedy, Elsenpeter Productions, which was an offshoot of my father's company with the Marionettes. And then I also had EP Music, which was our band side of things.
Wow. So you've been in the entertainment business, much following in the footsteps of your late father.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'd had to take on that legacy and keep on, all the things, great things that he did with Possum Hollow Robbery and Toby and Susie tent shows and, the Marionettes and everything else that he's done. I had to keep up that legacy. So
Toby Dick Ellis. So those of you who are old like me will remember Toby Dick Ellis and the late great. So we have Richard Elsenpeter here. He did not bring any marionettes.
But not today.
He is prepared to talk about veteran services today. Now, I had a talk yesterday with someone who works at the VA clinic here in Quincy, and I asked her quite frankly, are you concerned about your job? And she said no, she is not. They have heard from their chain of command that anyone that has direct contact with a veteran will not be on the layoff, although people will be laid off from the Veterans Administration. She feels very confident that the Quincy clinic will remain open because they're so busy. Now, of course, we all know that this is one person's opinion who has no management authority there, and just because you're very busy doesn't mean they're going to keep you open, but I think it's looking pretty good for most veterans organizations that would not be very, it's not a good look to go in and start to slash and burn veterans administrations.
Well, and I'd agree. We all know, being in the service for 25 years, I know for a fact there are lots and lots of waste, fraud, and abuse. We've all heard of the $800 hammers and the $1,000 toilet seats and all these other projects that the military likes to take on. So I think there is a lot of room for expansion. There's a lot of room for improvements, and I think there's a lot of upper echelon people and people that, doesn't necessarily need to be there. Because whenever I talk to veterans or most veterans, when they talk about the VA clinics or the going to Iowa City and talking to the people that are actually taking care of them, most veterans are very, very pleased with the services they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble that I normally hear in the ones that I have, it's some of the bureaucracy that is created in the administrative side that just frustrate the heck out of me. Got to watch my language, we're on air. I said, I'm just an old foul-mouthed,
veteran.
Veteran, so chubby
ass,
chubby veteran, so.
I think the thing that people, it's hard because the $800 hammer sticks with us. I mean, whoever brought that up, and I don't even remember, but whoever brought that kind of waste and fraud to the forefront with the $800 hammer, that has stuck with everybody. And that's been decades ago that that was brought out. But the problem is, again, it's the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower himself warned against, these private contractors. So it's not the Army making their own hammers, which they could probably do if properly trained guys could probably learn how to make hammers. They can learn how to make everything else, you know. But it's when we rely on the private sector, and it's all out for bid, and then there's cost overruns, and everybody just signs off on those because we need the hammer, or we need the F-whatever jet, whatever number they're up to now. And so there is a lot of waste in the U.S. Department of Defense. But ferreting that out is been something that people have been looking at for a long time. We'll have to give them more than 30 days to figure it out. But there are a lot of veterans who have jobs in other agencies who have been laid off, and they say it has caused them now to have more post-traumatic stress disorder because they came out of a warlike situation. They were hired by the government, put into a, you know, again, a box where they knew what to conform with. They knew the duties. They knew the responsibilities. They had to be to work on time, et cetera. They knew what they were doing. And now they're out of those jobs. Have you heard locally about any veterans or any spouses of veterans that have been put out of work by these cost-cutting measures?
I have not. Yeah. Of course, I'm not on the email chain of every single person out there. So I'm sure there are some, and I'm sure there are people that were concerned, you know, about their positions. But I just have to take it for granted. And this is, again, maybe the old veteran me is just take the orders and move on, you know, type of scenario. Suck it up and move on, as we used to, you know, be told. So what I have to look at with it is there is a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. There are things that we have to look at. There are ways that we can tighten our belts and work better and smarter with things. But I have not heard of any local people that have been put out of jobs. I haven't learned of, you know, local people. But there is those rumblings. There are concerns. And there are
always concerns. Yeah. And this is when we talk about veterans' mental health. This is the next thing. You know, it's like, oh, I got out. I got this job. I can raise my family. I can start afresh. And here we are. You know, it's like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. It almost doesn't even matter if it really happens. Just the fear of thinking it's going to happen could be enough to trigger some mental health issues.
Well, there is. And that's one of those things we have to be careful of and we have to look at, because that's part of, again, in the military, the psychops. Is if you can go ahead and instill fear into the enemy, if you can go ahead and not just scare them or get them to worried, or you give them false information out there so they start worrying and they start looking over their shoulders and they can't sleep, you know, that's when you start to work on their mental side of things, you know, as far as the, you know, working on your enemy. And now with this, it's kind of works the exact same way. Even though it's not against our enemy, it's just people have their own agendas, you know,
right.
So the people that like it, support it. The people who don't like it want to make it look bad. So they go ahead and come up with, you know, that false news or the memes on Facebook that just want to needle people and get people to be concerned about this and that. And so we have to be cognizant. We have to be aware. We have to actually look for the facts and look for what is actually being done and not just on what people are telling you will happen.
Right.
Because
and that's why, yeah,
there's
I bring
a big
up,
difference between what will and really is happening versus right. what people are telling you be scared of.
Right. Fear tactics. That's why I asked this person. It's one of the few people I know that works out there. And they said absolutely no concern on their part. But again, you know, they're not in the management scheme of things. But there again, how could the response was, how could they shut us down? We're so busy. We can barely keep up the workload we have. So that was something to talk about. We're going to do like a little blanket review here about what Together with Tri-States Veterans is. And then I want to go over this wonderful resource guide, because I know that this was one of the first things you wanted to get accomplished years ago, mm-hmm. was to have this all-in-one pamphlet where we would know that the VA outpatient clinic was at 6020 Broadway. We knew that we could get help at the VA hospital in Iowa City. We knew where there were other places where veterans could get help, private sector places as well. So what is Together with Tri-State Veterans? Richard, you're part of that. You're the leader of that. What is that group exactly?
Well, with the Together with Tri-State event, we actually had two groups that have now blended into one. We had the Tri-State Veteran Support, which was a group of individuals, industries, businesses that work together to help veterans. And then we had the Together with Tri-State Veterans, which we was brought on board a couple of years later when we were asked, would you like to help reduce veteran suicide within the rural communities? And that was one of those things that was a missing link from Together with Tri-State Veterans Support, is we didn't have that mental health capacity side. So when we had that opportunity to create the Together with Tri-State Veterans Support, it really, you know, I was very excited about that. So over the last 5 years, we've been able to, well, over the last couple of several years, 3 years, kind of taken those two groups, blended them into one, and we've done that slowly, and we are now officially one group. Together with Tri-State Veteran Support is now the combination of both of those organizations. And what those organizations are, again, individuals, businesses, industries, nonprofits, veterans groups that all have their missions. And those missions are always great, wonderful missions that all of these groups are having. But they all had to fall under their purview. They all had their own charters. They all had their own rules. They all have their own policies. So if a veteran came in to the United Way or the Salvation Army or to Douglas Community Centers or any of these other, the VFWs, and a veteran says, well, you know what, I'm having difficulties, I'm struggling, I need help with this, 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 and this.
Four different things.
Yeah, four different things. That organization can say, well, I can help you with this and this, but I can't help you with these other things. Well, where do I go for that? I don't know. You know. So what we want to do is put all of that under one, be able to have those resources at our fingertips. So when a veteran did come in to one of those organizations and say, I need help with this, 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 and this, and you tell them, well, I can help you with this and this, and then they ask you, where else do I go? You, instead of saying, I don't know, you can say, I know where you can go. I know who you can see. And you can actually call that other organization, that other person, say, Bob, I'm going to send somebody over to you. He's having trouble. He needs help with this and this. I know you can help with that. So it's a great way for all of these organizations to work together to help veterans streamline those services. And you talked about that resource guide. Well, that resource guide is what we wanted to do is you can go online and find all sorts of resource guides and resources for veterans. And unfortunately for in Illinois, a lot of those resources were Springfield, Chicago, Joliet.
Yeah.
You know, so if a veteran is having PTSD issues or anxiety issues, and it's hard for him to get out of his house, and it's hard for him to find something locally, and he finds a resource in Joliet, they're going to say, no, you know, I can't even get up and get out of my own house, more or less. I'm not going to go to Joliet to seek help. So we wanted to create a veterans resource guide that was for local veterans, local services, local items, so they can actually find places locally that they can go to and the people they can see.
It is a wonderful guide, and it's locally based here in Quincy and Hannibal and Illinois, Missouri. You know, it's tri-states, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa. And it's something easy that can be handed out to someone. I mean, if you see someone struggling, you know, you can just hand this pamphlet and say, I know you're struggling. I don't know what your exact struggles are, but if you need housing, if you need food, if you need employment assistance, if you need mental health assistance, here are some places where you can go. There's even a place to get clothing. It's really, really intense. And some places, like, I'm sorry, but when I say the words YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association, I don't think the first thing that springs to your mind is veterans assistance. But indeed, they're a huge factor in preventing homelessness and in getting people into homes in our community, veterans or not. So they are one of the links that is on here. When I think of the Salvation Army, I don't think necessarily of Veteran Services, but they do indeed have a huge Veteran Services component, and they were featured on the Mary Griffith Show last year, thanks to you.
Very much so.
And so I have learned so much in having you and your guests that you've invited on the show, just to let people know the resources are there. The hard part is getting people to access them. So the first thing was getting them to know there is help, and here's where help is available. The second part is getting these proud veterans to ask for help. And for some of them, that is still a problem.
It is still a problem, because that veteran mentality, as we've talked about before, Mary, is I'm strong, I can take it, I can hack it, I'm fine. You know, take him first. You know, those choppers are coming in, they're doing the evacs, and they're going ahead and extracting them soldiers that are wounded out. So many of the veterans will go ahead and say just that. Take him first. I'm okay. Give me an M16. Give me my M1. Give me my, you know, this. I can still fight. I can protect them, but get them out of here first. You know, as a leader in the military, your first sergeants, your sergeant, you know, platoon leaders and squad leaders and all that, you always make sure your soldiers have what they need first. They eat first. They can go to sleep first. You go to sleep, I'm going to walk the perimeters, make sure, you know, you're safe while you're sleeping before I go to bed. So that's always one of those things that we always look at is, I'm okay, I'm strong, I can take it, I can hack it, take them first. So we always, one of those strong things that we always have to break down is saying, it's all right not to be all right. It's all right for you to seek services. So a lot of the veterans, when you say, have you signed up to go to the VA? Oh, no, no, no. That's for sick people. You know, I don't want to plug the system up with, you know, my petty issues. I want to take care of them first. So to go ahead and let a veteran know, it's all right not to be all right. It's all right for you to go to the sick call, too. It's all right for you to say, you know what, I'm having some PTSD issues or mental health issues. It's all right for you to go ahead and tell, you know, tell your stories and talk to people about these things. And not just be that badass veteran and say, you know, I'm okay, you know, because it's all right. You know, it's not a privilege. You've earned those rights to seek those services. So you can go out there and talk to Paul at the Veterans Assistance Commission to seek services. You can go out to the VA clinic and ask to be seen for your medical care. You can go out and go to the Iowa City or Columbia to get your medical care and your pharmacy. You've earned those. You know, as a veteran, you've earned those rights.
Sound like my dad there. Oh, no, that's for people who, you know, really really served hard, and I never got killed. I go, well, yes, Dad, we know you never got killed. That's why you're here. The VA is for people who actually made it, Charlie, but that's okay. Well, we'll move on from that. Charlie's gone now. Charlie is fine. He's up in heaven, hopefully. But that was my favorite. Oh, no, that's for people who were, you know, really, I'm like, Dad, you served. Well, we won't go there. We know that's the mentality, especially in the World War II crew. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's like, if I made it back home alive, put me in the back of everything, because it's the guys who didn't make it home alive that they wanted all the glory to go to. We've got to take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets. And this farm market break is brought to you on the Mary Griffith Show by our good friends at Rex Battery. Please support them if you need batteries. They've got them to sell, and they're not that expensive. They're one of the cheapest places in town to get batteries. Trust me, my husband knows. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. In that brief commercial break, Richard Elson, Peter, and I could not solve all the problems of the world, so I just want to give you this update. There are still some world problems, but Richard and I are working on them, and perhaps in the next 15 minutes, we'll get them all solved.
We will get most of them solved.
Let's start with adrenaline racing, okay? Because we've talked a lot about, together with Tri-State Veterans and the great programs and the coalition and the compatibility and the working together. And now let's put some boots on the ground. You are doing some great things getting veterans involved in projects, I'm making air quotes, to get them involved in something that's productive, fun, gets them in contact with other veterans, and maybe allows them to have somebody say, you know, I was having that problem, but I went and saw somebody. Maybe you should too.
Well, one of the things we look at is to help with PTSD, anxiety issues, and things like that. And I just know, again, one of the things we've talked about in the past is how veterans, when they're in the service, they are surrounded by their buddies, their pals, their squad, their battalions, their brigades, their platoons. They never go anywhere by themselves. They're always surrounded by their teammates with this, so they're never alone. And when they leave the military, they seem to have lost that camaraderie. They've lost that support, that family structure that they had with their brothers and sisters in the service. So they don't know where to go. They don't know who to see. They don't know what. They don't have that structure with them anymore. So I was reading an article one time about adrenaline racing. And adrenaline racing was a concept where you go ahead and take veterans, you put them together into a race team. So they have a race car. They get in the race car. So you have the driver, you have the pit crews, you have the support structure within that. So that gives them that sense of camaraderie, teamwork, sense of winning, a sense of, you know, being in that adrenaline, you know, of the race itself and winning type. And I'm like, you know what, that is like super cool. How do we build that here? How do we get that structure here in Quincy, Adams County? So I went out to Adams County Raceways, talked to them out there last year. They loved the idea. But I also, one of the things that I saw was going to be an issue is that we are not going to be able to build a structure and a team and then put, you know, some military yahoo in the back of a $200,000 car. So that was going to be difficult. Is how do we build a race team without a race car, you know, type? So what the whole concept we want to do is build, first of all, get veterans involved in the race community. So our goals, three goals, never say no to a veteran. Build the connection between the veteran and the race community. And then third, the race community's connection with the veterans. So we started talking to the new owners, the Delangeys out at Quincy Raceways, and they completely agreed and liked the idea. So we're starting a veterans appreciation program so we can go ahead and get veterans involved. We can go ahead and say, if you come to the races, you're going to get discounts. You know, on this day, if you're a VFW member, you get in free. On another day, you can get a, you know, one of their combo meals at a discounted price. If you're another day, the American Legion can get in free. If you're in the Army, you get in free on this night. We'll commemorate you on this night. So we're setting up every night of the 20-day racing season. We're setting something up for veterans every single night. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no secret handshake. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to buy anything. You simply sign up. Get a membership card, get your sign-in sheet, and then you can just bring your coupons every night of the race and get either a free gift, or you can get in free, or you can get a discount on this, you can get a family discount. So every night, every racing night, it is something different for veterans and, you know, the military, the veterans, and their families.
So there will be no car this year?
We are still working
still
on
working
that.
On we
are
it.
Still
okay,
working
good.
On that. Because,
I mean, you don't have $200,000, but it's a much lower bar to get something running on the track.
Right. So that is phase one, is to get the connection between the veterans and the race teams. So I just know for me personally, going through the motor pool with my clipboard and my cup of coffee, smelling the diesel fuel, you know, in the morning, was something I became accustomed to. It was something that, you know, I look back on with fond memories of smelling the diesel fuel, you know, from the deuce and a halves and the, you know, five tons and everything. So being able to get veterans into the racetracks, give them that camaraderie, that sense of feeling, a sense of winning. Again, phase two of that is actually then what they had brought up is like, Rich, you don't have to have a $200,000 car. You can get into the Crown Vic class and you can build a car for like $5,000. And really, when he said that, I'm like, hold on. $5,000, you know, or $500,000. He said, no, $500,000, you can build a car. I'm like, where's my checkbook? Because in the big scheme of things, when with so many veterans events that I do, we have to raise money, we have to collect money, we, you know, you're trying to raise $50,000 for this event or that event. So when I'm hearing $5,000, I'm like, that's nothing.
It's accessible. It's possible.
It is so doable.
The Crown Vic class is doable.
It is doable. So what our goal is to build, get a race team together. So get a driver, get the pit crews, get all the equipment, get everything we need, build a Crown Vic class car that we can actually put on the track. Because I also know veterans are very competitive. So if we put a car on the track that says VFW, that says American Legions, that says Marine Corps Leagues, I know that if we do that this year, next year we're going to have two cars. Because the Air Force guys are going to want their own car. The Army is going to want their own cars because we love the bragging rights. It's, I kicked your butt this week. You know, so as one car, we working together as a team. You know, as I see this program growing and building, there's going to be auto shops that are going to want to help. There is going to be mechanics that are going to want to help. There are individuals, corporations, businesses that want to get their logo on that, you know, type. So we can go ahead and have a Marine Corps car, an Air Force car, an Army car, you know, a Coast Guard car, a space, you know, Space Force car, you know, one that floats or something. I don't know.
Hovercraft, yeah. Well, it's great, and thank you for the update, because, you know, if you want to help make it possible, contact the DeLong Jays or contact the Veterans Resource Officer, Paul Havermill, and say, I want to be part of this, and Richard Elson-Peter will be in touch with you and will get you involved in this. He has a list here of 50 things they were going to accomplish, and they got everything they wanted to accomplish in 2023 and 2024 done. They've got about 12 items here in 2025. Already five of them have been accomplished.
Not accomplished. Started.
Started, okay.
Yeah, so
well,
yes.
Yeah.
So.
But, well, the WT80 radio spot never ends. So that's not only that's accomplished every month. You can, you know, put that on. Still to be done, already mm-hmm. done. Still to be done, rinse and repeat. But I'm amazed at what you've been able to do, because from starting with, let's just get a veterans resource guide. Let's just try to get everything in one place so that when people come, they're not like, oh, well, yeah, you can get help here and here. And I'm like, I don't have a car. I can barely get out of my house. I've got problems. So you've really done a lot.
That veteran resource guide, because we created that. And the next one was, how do we get it out to veterans? So we went ahead and have in Quincy about 26 different locations that we have our veterans resource racks. So we have our very first one we put up at the Quincy Town Center. So in the Hall of Honors in the Quincy Mall, Quincy Town Center, we have our veterans resource rack. But we have those at Hy-Vee's. We have three of them at Quincy Medical Group. We have three of them at Blessing Health Systems. We have those, you know, I said at Quincy Town Center, we have them at the police station,
City
we have
Hall.
The health, City Hall,
yeah.
You know, has those.
I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really great. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's in the future for Richard Elson-Peter. Well, there, something will keep you on the edge of your seat. Stay tuned. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I've only allowed him 4 minutes to give us an update. What is going on in the world of Richard Elson-Peter? You will still be here next month.
Absolutely.
But sooner or later, you are transitioning out of this responsibility. What is on the horizon?
Well, to give you a little bit of history with that is absolutely. My goal always when I was in the military is to train my
successor
to train the person that was going to take my spot, because we all know in the military people come, people go, people die, you know, so somebody has to be there to take over. And I always wanted this organization to run as good, if not better, when I was gone than when I was there. So I don't want the organizations, Tri-State Veteran Support, Together Tri-State Veterans, the VAC, or any of those, to be personality driven. I want them to be, you know, mission-based. So one of the things we did is we took the two groups and combined them into one. We took those two organizations, blended the leadership together, and then we go ahead and created new leadership, you know, after a year, to be a single unit. So I with the Adams County VAC, I was the one of the directors to help create it. I was on the board for 1 year. I asked them this year not to put me back on the board, let some of the new pups, you know, the younger soldiers, to kind of be able to take that over. I think Paul's done a fantastic job, you know, being the superintendent out there. So it's kind of time for me to, as a parent, we want our children to thrive, and I think it's one of those times that letting them run that and control that, and me kind of step back and just be a proud papa, you know, to watch them. And it's the kind of the same that I will be transitioning out of Together Tri-State Veterans to pursue, you know, spending more time with my, you know, my wife, my children, and traveling more. You know, so that proverbial spending time with the family and the kids. But I want to, I just know it's kind of time for me to step back and let some of the newer people, new ideas kind of step in and take over and kind of run it, and me just step back and be proud of the things that we've accomplished and looked at. Because looking at all the things we have done in the last 2, 3, 4 years,
it's been fantastic.
It's, you know, it blows me away to just look at that and say that we've accomplished these things.
And the great thing is, in emeritus status, you will still be available for counseling. You know, if somebody says, we're trying to do this, I know you got the ball rolling, but now we're hitting a bump, you'll be there to guide them. So we're glad. And again, you're always welcome to come on the Mary Griffith Show. And like you said, there comes a time in life when you do have to put family first, and you have other enterprises, like you say, that take your time mm-hmm. and attention. And so I just want to thank you. This won't be the last time I get to say thank you on the radio, but you never know, I might be sick next month. So thank you very much for everything you've done, Richard Elson-Peter, and everybody keep listening, because we're going to keep talking about veterans' mental health until we don't need to anymore. So let's hope that soon.
As I said, I want to put myself out of business.
Very good. Well, you're well on your way to doing that, my young man, by all the great things that you have done and the great things that you have going. Folks, there is a Veterans VAC, Veterans Assistance Commission, here in Adams County. Paul Havermail is running that, and his sole duties are to help veterans. So if you need help, call the VAC, ask for Paul. Paul will personally make sure that things happen for you. That's his job. To the best of his ability, he'll get all these resources together to help you. And if you're struggling with someone who's reluctant, drop a resource guide by them, have a little talk with them, and look for the DeLange Racetrack to have a veteran's car this summer.
Hooah.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much.